The Worm Ouroboros by E.R. Edison. Chapter 7. Guests of the King in Carcy. Of the two banquet halls that were in Carcy, the old and the new, and of the entertainment given by King Gorice the 12th in the one hall to Lord Jus and Lord Brandoc the Ha, and in the other to the Prince La Fayeries, and of their leave-taking when the banquet was done. The morrow of that battle dawned fair on Carcy. Folk lay long abed after their toil, and until the sun was high, naught stirred before the walls. But toward noon came forth a band sent by King Gorice to bring in the spoil, and they took up the bodies of the slain, and laid them in how on the right bank of the river Druma, half a mile below Carcy. Witches, demons, and goblins in one grave together, and raised up a great how over them. Now was the sun's heat strong, but the shadow of the great keep rested still on the terrace without the western wall of the palace. Cool and redolent of ease and soft repose was that terrace, paved with flagstones of red jasper, with spleenwort, asafoetida, livid toadstools, dragon's teeth, and bitter moonseed growing in the joints. On the outer edge of the terrace were bushes of arbor vitae, planted in a row, squat and round like sleeping dormice, with clumps of choke-parred aconite in the interspaces. Many hundred feet in length was the terrace from north to south, and at either end a flight of black marble steps led down to the level of the inner ward and its embattled wall. Benches of green jasper, massily built, and laden with velvet cushions of many colors, stood against the palace wall facing to the west. And on the bench nearest the iron tower, a lady sat at ease, eating cream wafers and a quince tart, served by her waiting women, in dishes of pale gold, for her morning meal. Tall was that lady, and slender, and beauty dwelt in her as the sunshine dwells in the red floor and gray-green trunks of a beechwood in early spring. Her tawny hair was gathered in deep folds upon her head, and made fast by great silver pins, their heads set with aniquite diamonds. Her gown was of cloth of silver, with a knotted cordwork of black silk embroidery, everywhere decked with little moonstones, and over it she wore a mantle of figured satin, the color of the wood-pigeon's wing, tinseled and overcast with silver threads. White-skinned she was, and graceful as an antelope. Her eyes were green, with yellow fiery gleams. Daintily she ate the tart and wafers, sipping at whiles from a cup of amber, artificially carved. White wine cool from the cellars below Carcy. And a maiden, sitting at her feet, played on a seven-stringed lute, singing very sweetly this song.
Ask me no more where Jove bestows, when June is past the fading rose, for in your beauty's orient deep, these flowers as in their causes sleep. Ask me no more whether doth stray the golden atoms of the day, for in pure love heaven did prepare those powders to enrich your hair. Ask me no more whether doth haste the nightingale when May is past, for in your sweet dividing throat she winters and keeps warm her note. Ask me no more where those stars light that downward that's fallen dead of night, for in your eyes they sit, and there fixed it be calm as in their sphere. Ask me no more if east or west the phoenix built a spicy nest, for unto you at last she flies, and in your fragrant bosom dies.
No more, said the lady. Thy voice is cracked this morning. Is none abroad yet thou canst find to tell me of last night's doings? Or are all gone my lord's gate, that I left sleeping still, as though all the poppies of all earth's gardens breathed drowsiness about his head?
One cometh, madam, said the damosel.
The lady said, The Lord grow, he may resolve me. Though were he in the Stour last night, that were a wonder indeed. Therewith came Grow along the terrace from the north, clad in a mantle of dun-coloured velvet, with a collar of raised work of gold upon silver pearl, and his long black curly beard was perfumed with orange-flower water and angelica. When they had greeted one another, and the lady had bidden her women stand apart, she said, My lord, I thirst for tidings. Recount to me all that befell since sundown, for I slept soundly till the streaks of morning showed through my chamber windows, and then I awoke from a flying dream of sennets sounding to the onset, and torches in the night, and war's alarums. And there were torches indeed in my chamber, lighting my lord to bed, that answered me no word, but straightway fell asleep, as in utter weariness. Some slight scratches he hath, but else unhurt. I would not wake him, for balm is in slumber. Also is he ill to do with, if one wake him so. But the tattle and wild surmise of the servants bloweth, as ever, to all points of wonder, as that a great armament of demon-land is disembarked at Tenemos, and all routed last night by my lord and by Corineus, and Goldry Blushko slain in single combat with the king. Or that Jus hath set a charm on Laxus and all our fleet, making them sail like parasites against this land, Jus and the other demons leading them, and all slain save Laxus and Goldry Blushko. But these brought bound into Carcy, stark mad and frothing at the lips, and Corineus dead of his wounds after slaying of Brandoc Daha. Or, foolishly, and her green eyes lightened dangerously, that it was my brother risen in revolt to wrest Pixieland from the overlordship of Gorais, and joined with Gaslark to that end, and their army overthrown, and both ta'en prisoner. Gro laughed and said, Surely, O my lady Presmyra, truth masketh in many a strange disguise when she rideth rumour's broomstick through kings' palaces. But somewhat of herself hath she shown thee, if thou conclude that an event was brought to birth betwixt dark and sunrise to stagger the world, and that the power of Witchland bloomed forth this night into unbeholden glory. Thou speakest big, my lord, said the lady. Were the demons in it?
Eh, madam, he said.
And triumphed on, and slain?
All slain, save Jus and Brandoc Daha, and they taken.
Was this my lord's doing? She asked.
Greatly, as I think, said Gro, though Corineus claimeth for himself, as commonly, the main honour of it.
Presmyra said,
He claimeth over much.
And she said,
There were none in it save demons.
Gro, knowing her thought, smiled and made answer,
Madam, there were witches.
My lord Gro, she cried, thou dost ill to mock me.
"'Thou art my friend. Thou knowest the prince my brother, proud and sudden to anger. Thou knowest it chafeth him to have Witchland over him. Thou knowest the time is many days overpast when he should bring his yearly tribute to the king.'
Gro's great ox-eyes were soft as he looked upon the Lady Presmyra, saying,
"'Most assuredly am I thy friend, madam. Belike, if truth were told, thou and thy lord are all the true friends I have in Waterish Witchland. You two and the king. But who sleepeth safe in the favour of kings? Ah, madam, none of Pixieland stood in the battle yesternight. Therefore, let thy soul be at ease.
But my task it was, standing on the battlements beside the king, to smile and smile, while Corineus and our fighting men made a bloody havoc of 400 or 500 of mine own kinsfolk. Presmyra caught her breath and was silent a moment. Then,
"Gaslark?"
"The main force was his, it appeareth," answered Lord Gro.
"Corineus braggeth himself his banesman, and certain it is he felled him to earth. But I am secretly advertised he was not among the dead taken up this morning."
"My lord," she said, "my desire for news drinks deep while thou art fasting. Some, bring meat and wine for my lord Gro." And two damosels ran and returned with sparkling golden wine in a beaker, and a dish of lampreys with hippocras sauce. So Gro sat him down on the jasper bench, and while he ate and drank, rehearsed to the Lady Presmyra the doings of the night. When he had ended, she said, "How hath the king dealt with those twain, Lord Jus and Lord Brandoc de Ha?" Gro answered,
"He hath them clapped up in the old banqueting hall in the Iron Tower."
And his brow darkened, and he said,
"'Tis pity thy lord lay thus long abed, and so came not to the council, where Corsus and Corineus, backed by thy stepsons and the sons of Corsus, egged on the king to use shamefully these lords of Demonland. True is that distich which admonisheth us. Know when to speak, for many times it brings danger to give the best advice to kings. And little for my health, and little gain withal, had it been, had I then openly withstood them. Corineus is ever watchful to fling goblin in my teeth. But Corund weigheth in their counsels as his hand weigheth in battle."
Now, as Gro spake, came the Lord Corund on the terrace, calling for still wine to cool his throat withal. Presmyra poured forth to him, "Thou art blamed to me for keeping thy bed, my lord, that shouldst have been devising with the king touching our enemies ta'en captive in this night gone by." Corin sat by his lady on the bench and drank.
"If that be all, madam," said he, "then have I little to charge my conscience withal, for naught lies readier than strike off their heads, and so bring all to a fit and happy ending."
"Far otherwise," said Gro, "hath the king determined. He let drag before him Lord Jus and Lord Brandoc de Ha, and with many fleers and jibes. 'Welcome,' he saith, 'to Carcy. Your table shall not lack store of delicates while ye are my guests, albeit ye come unbidden.' Therewith he let drag them to the old banquet hall, and he bade his smiths drive great iron staples into the wall, whereon he let hang up the demons by their wrists, spread-eagled against the wall, making both wrists and ankles fast to the staples with gyves of iron. And the king let dight the table before their feet, as for a banquet, that the sight and the savour might torment them. And he called all us to his council thither, that we might praise his conceit, and mock them anew."
Said Presmyra,
A great king should rather be a dog that killeth clean than a cat that patteth and sporteth with his prey.
True it is, said Corand, that they were safer slain.
He rose from his seat.
"'Twere not amiss, he said, that I had word with the king.
Wherefore so? Asked Presmyra.
He that sleepeth late,
said Corand, eyeing her humorously,
sometimes hath news for her that riseth betimes to sit on the western terrace. And this was I come to tell thee, that I but now beheld eastward from our chamber window, riding toward Carcy out of Pixieland, down the way of kings.
Lothairis, she said.
Mine eyes be strong enow and clear enow, said Corand, but thou'lt scarce require me to swear to my own brother at 3 miles distance. And as for thine, I leave thee the swearing.
Who should ride down the way of kings from Pixieland, cried Presmyra, but Lothairis?
That, madam, let Echo answer thee, said Corand. And it sticketh in my mind that the prince my brother-in-law is one that tieth to his heart-strings the remembrance of past benefits. This, too, that none did him ever a greater benefit than Jus, that saved his life 6 winters back in Impland the Moor. Wherefore, if Lafayrie's be to share our revels this night, needful it is that the king command these gabblers to keep silence touching our entertainment of these lords in the old banquet hall, and in general touching the share of demon-land in this fighting.
Presmyra said, Come, I'll go with thee. They found the king on the topmost battlements above the water-gate, with his lords about him, gazing east-away towards the long low hills beyond which lay Pixieland. But when Corand began to open his mind to the king said,
Thou growest old, O Corand, and like a good-for-nothing chapman, bringest not thy wares to market, ere the market be done.
I have already ta'en order for this, and straitly charged my people that naught befell last night, save a faring of the goblins against Carcy, and their overthrow, and my chasing of them with a great slaughter into the sea. Whoso by speech or sign shall reveal to Lafayrie's that the demons were in it, or that these enemies of mine are thus entertained by me to their discomfort in the old banquet hall, he shall lose nothing but his life.
Corin said, It is well, O king.
The king said,
Captain General, what is our strength?
Corinius answered,
73 were slain, and the others, for the most part, hurt, I among them, that am thus one-handed for the while. I will not engage to find you, O king, 50 sound men in Carcy. My lord Corand, said the king, thine eyes pierced ever a league beyond the best among us, young or old. How many makest thou yon company?
Corand leaned on the parapet, and shaded his eyes with his hand, that was broad as a smoked haddock, and covered on the back with yellow hairs, growing somewhat sparsely, as the hairs on the skin of a young elephant.
He rideth with 60 horse, O king. 1 or 2 more I give you for good luck, but if I have a horseman fewer than 60, never love me more.
The king muttered an imprecation.
It is the curse of chance bringeth him thus pat, when I have my powers abroad, and am left with too little strength to awe him if he prove irksome. One of thy sons, O Corand, shall take horse and ride south to Zorn and Permio, and muster a 50 fighting men from the herdsmen and farmers, with what speed he may.
It is commanded. End of Part 1 of Chapter 7